The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, it's National Fossil Day.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Shout out to UB Brown.
You better be careful. UB Brown will be shouting out to you. Better be careful.
That's what I was going to say. What I was going to say is that you and I are getting close to fossildom ourselves. And at some point, we're going to be the butt of these jokes.
That's not right.
That's right. It's going to be us.
It's going to be fair.
Welcome to PTR, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Dodgers are down. Jose Altuve can't throw, and Le'Veon Bell is done with the Jets. But we begin today with how wrong we were about the Tennessee Titans. We both thought they wouldn't be ready for the Buffalo Bills because of their involvement with coronavirus. But Tennessee manhandled the 4-0 Bills to the tune of 42-16. Afterwards, Buffalo coach Sean McDermott said, quote, "We beat ourselves more than anything," unquote. Well, is that how you saw it?
Well, Tony, Buffalo made a bunch of stupid mistakes and penalties, and we saw a dropped pass that should have been caught turn into an interception. I mean, they did a lot of dumb stuff. They looked like they didn't practice, like they had a week where they were trying to figure out and concentrate on ridding themselves of the coronavirus and its effects as opposed to Tennessee, which actually had that. And, Tony, there seems to be, maybe there's a simplicity to the way Tennessee plays, the way the Titans play, that just you, maybe you don't have to have timing and maybe you don't have to have as many practices or maybe you can concentrate on things that are within your control. But I know, and I was watching this last night, it was too late to call you, but I was pretty stunned by the way that game went.
Yeah, so what Tennessee did was they went 6-for-6 in the red zone. And if anybody looks at this game and says they saw it a different way, they need to go to an eye surgeon immediately. 6-for-6 in the red zone. If you get opportunities and you cash those opportunities in, you're a good football team. They had 13 guys with the coronavirus. They had eight regulars who did not play last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine how good they'll be when they're healthy. All right. There's a bunch of things that have to be said about Tennessee. And the first one is this. They're going to use this as fuel all year long in the way the Marlins and the Cardinals used it in baseball. They've already said publicly, a lot of people doubted us. A lot of people said we made mistakes. A lot of people. And that's going to be fuel. And the second thing I think has to be said, Mike, is that Mike Vrabel is the best pup out of Bill Belichick of all, and it's not even close.
Yeah.
This team last year beat Baltimore in the playoffs, and people thought it was a fluke. And then they lost in the AFC Championship game to Kansas City. I don't think it's a fluke. I think the problem in Miami with Tannehill was coaching, not Tannehill. I think Tannehill and Derrick Henry are a pretty good 1-2 shot. This is a really good team now, Mike. They're good.
Well, Tony, it's the 1-2 shot that's important here, and it's kind of old-fashioned. I mean, I think the opposing defenses still think of Henry as the guy they have to fear. And then Tannehill can just sort of operate in the shadows, which is a very old football construct. That's not something we've thought of in the last, 20 years. Even when it was a great running back like Emmitt Smith, you still didn't think that Troy Aikman was operating in the shadows because he wasn't. But there's something about that with Tannehill. And Derrick Henry, on a night where he doesn't have a whole lot of yards, still makes some plays where it just looks like people are physically afraid of him, Tony. But I will give you all that about Tennessee. But, Tony, Buffalo, that's an effort they ought to be, embarrassed by, given that they were undefeated and they had something to play for, and maybe they underestimated the opposition like we did and thought they were preoccupied with something that they were not. Let's move to baseball, where the Dodgers are in the hole, 0-2. Freddie Freeman started the scoring last night with a home run as the Braves sprinted out to a 7-0 lead, then held on to win 8-7. The Dodgers haven't lost back-to-back games in a month. They're throwing Julio Urias against the Braves' Kyle Wright tonight. Tony, are you still confident that the Dodgers, who you have said repeatedly are the best team in baseball,
yes,
can actually come back?
I have said that about the Dodgers. I believe that about the Dodgers. But if you use the word confident, no, I can't say I'm confident at this point. Freddie Freeman goes up there at the beginning of games and blasts one out. And suddenly the Braves are always leading. Dodgers are playing catch-up, if they can play catch-up at all. They scored a bunch of runs last night late, but they didn't win the game. They're down 2-0 at this point. If you ask me if I'm confident, I'm going to tell you something that really impressed me last night from John Smoltz, who's terrific on TV. Before the Dodgers had even scored, and they were way down, John Smoltz said this: they may not win this game, but if they can start scoring some runs, they may have some confidence for the next bunch of games, which may be exactly the way it's going to happen. And I'll give Smoltz all the credit for that. I am not personally confident, no.
Yeah, Tony, I was busy yesterday out in the vast expanse behind me. You know what I was doing. And I walked into a place with lots of TVs, and it was 7-0. And I just said, all right, let's get the other games on. There's football on, there's baseball other than this on, and let's just get away from this, because this is nothing. And then I had to turn back, and I watched the comeback, and I was sort of, I must admit, I was rooting for the Dodgers just to even up. I don't have a team, a horse in this race for the series. I wanted a close game and a close series. But Tony, sometimes I play the game, if I was still a sports writer and I was in that locker room, what would I be asking? And I would want to ask guys who tell the truth. And I might want to ask them on background. They might not want to say it on the record, but I want to know. Do you feel that any part of this comeback will actually help you tomorrow, moving forward?
Yeah.
And I don't know what the answer will be, because, Tony, you know we go to certain guys in the locker room for truth. You go to some guys because they want to be show ponies on TV and radio and sound bites and in their podcasts. And then some guys are going to say to you what they believe. And I don't know what the Dodgers believe in their souls about those 7 runs and getting really close and having a chance to tie and win that game.
That's why, you know, I would use the word hopeful instead of confident. The Dodgers will have Kershaw maybe to pitch once, but the Braves are going to have Fried and Anderson to pitch again. And Anderson goes out there, pitches 4 or 5 innings and never gives up a run. The Braves haven't lost at all. They haven't lost at all in the playoffs. So obviously the Dodgers have to win. They got to win 4 out of 5. It's going to be hard to do. But yes, I do still think they're the best team. But I don't know that that means they'll win the series. In the other baseball series, Jose Altuve continued his throwing misery. He had a bad bounce throw to second base on a double play ball, and Tampa ended up with 5 runs that inning. Houston lost 5-2 to go down 3-0 in that series. Wilbon, we all know Houston cheated. Many people say now this is karma. Do you have any sympathy for Altuve and the Astros?
Tony, I don't know about Altuve personally because I don't have a sense of him and who he is and what he stands for and what kind of guy he is. I don't have a sense of Altuve. And to get my empathy, usually, I got to know something about you. But I will say this. Watching that game and watching those catches that the Tampa Bay outfielders made, Tony, and that they've made for 3 games now, I do believe it's karma. I do, and I don't even know that, generally speaking, I believe in karma. But, I mean, some of the rockets hit and some of the bloop balls that should fall in and don't fall in because guys catch them off the top blades of the grass. I just sit there going, oh, my God, the Astros are getting exactly what they deserve here. And I must say, Tony, I root for Dusty Baker. So I want Dusty Baker to be separate and apart from that, but he can't be. And as far as Altuve, I don't know. I think I lean toward feeling sorry for him, but not for that team as a whole.
So let me get to Altuve for a second because these numbers are interesting. This is completely out of the blue with him. In 47 career playoff games before this year, 1 throwing error. In the regular season this year, 0 throwing errors. In the playoffs, 4. And in the last 2 games, 3. He's a former MVP. He's a terrific player. I don't go to karma with this, Mike. I go to Steve Sachs and Chuck Knobloch.
Yeah.
I go to, you know, maybe this could be the end of a career. This guy might be able to put up Hall of Fame numbers. That doesn't mean voters will let him in because of the cheating. But he was an MVP. Now, if you can't throw, these are routine throws. You got to make them. The Nats, Ryan Zimmerman wasn't able to throw from third to first, so they moved him to first. You can't move a 5'6" guy to first base. You can't do that. Altuve's got to be able to throw the ball, and I do find myself having sympathy for him, and I agree with you that the karma is the batted balls that are being caught every single time.
Every time. rockets,
yes.
bloops,
yes.
places where you think fielders
yes.
should not be for Tampa Bay. And I know they're good. And
yep.
I don't want to underestimate them, Tony. And defensively, they appear to be the greatest thing ever. But wow, if you're, who feels bad for Houston right now outside of the 7-1-3? Who feels bad for them?
I'll just amplify the Dusty Baker thing. Good for him that he's going to play Altuve tonight. Good for him. Keep him out
yeah.
there. You have to do
yeah.
that. Let's take
yeah.
a break. But coming up, the Jets release Le'Veon Bell. What does that say about them?
And it's Tony La Russa. Tony La Russa, really the number one choice to manage the White Sox. The 713 Houston, did I get that right? I have to have gotten that right. I spent a lot of time in Houston in my life. It's got to be 713 as opposed to 703, which is the V in DMV.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time to get verbally charismatic in my attic for What's the Word? Word up. What's first?
The Jets are blank for releasing Le'Veon Bell.
Comical. I mean, with the Jets, there's only two reactions. You can laugh or you can cry. They're in a steel cage death match with Washington for the worst franchise in the NFL.
Oof.
I don't even know why they wanted this guy to begin with. He's a team killer, as is Antonio Brown. Ask Pittsburgh if they're happy now that they're not there. All right, they gave him $28 million, Mike. He played in 18 games. He had 4 touchdowns and never gained 100 yards in one game. So that's $7 million a touchdown. They released him apparently because he went on Twitter and complained about the way he was used. What are we doing here? He stinks at this point. Sam Darnold isn't any good. Adam Gase isn't any good. The Jets are 0-5. They are a clown show, bro. And the great irony here is they are owned by the heirs of Johnson & Johnson, and there's not a bandage big enough to help the New York Jets.
Thank you for segueing into my word. They're clownish. That's what they are. It's a clown show, bro. It's a clown show
yes.
every time, Tony, at every turn. Signing him because of who they are was clownishly stupid. Trying to trade him and just sort of having it public and nobody wanting him, that's clownish. The coaching of him was clownish. The releasing of him is clownish. The executive level of the New York Jets, you know, I used to be, if you wanted to pick a franchise that sort of expressed how just sorry everything was, it used to be the Clippers. For like 25, 30 years, it was the Clippers. Now, Tony, it's the Jets, because I think they're a rung lower than the Washington Football Club, if that's possible.
Let me tell you who's laughing right now. Mike Tomlin's laughing right now. Next.
Yeah, he should be.
It's blank that Tony La Russa is reportedly the White Sox number one choice to manage the team.
It's nostalgic. This is a Bob Nightingale story in USA Today. That La Russa might go back to where he started. It was in 1979, as you well know, Mike. His first managerial job was with the White Sox. They fired him midway through 1986 because somehow Hawk Harrelson came down from the booth and became the GM and fired this guy, whose record, by the way, was 5-22 and 5-10 in Chicago. More good numbers. Since then, the White Sox have had 18 losing seasons, 15 winning seasons. 5 times to the playoffs, advanced once when they won the World Series in 2005. But how did La Russa do? He won a World Series in Oakland. He won 2 in St. Louis. He managed 25 years, 19 winning seasons, 6 losing, 13 playoffs, and hello, he's in the Hall of Fame. So, I mean, if Tony La Russa feels adequate to manage, that's a good place for him to go back.
Well, Tony, if it is, I don't know about this. Look, this is about Jerry Reinsdorf. Because Jerry and then general manager Roland Heeman, if we want to get a little historic, brought La Russa in, and it worked. In 1983, the White Sox, I mean, were just a great team. They did not win the World Series that year. But Tony La Russa had them going very much in the right direction. Hawk Harrelson, as you mentioned, comes in cans. I mean, Jerry Reinsdorf has hated that and regretted that firing ever since. Tony, this is Mackian, as in Connie Mack, who was born in 1862 and was still managing in like the late 40s and early 50s. And for those are the war years. And for you millennials out there, since it happened, and there was no Instagram then, you might want to Google the Civil War. No, not the Vietnam War, not World War II, not World War I, not the Spanish-American War. What? The Civil War, Connie Mack was born. Tony, how about a day if La Russa has on like a suit and a hat? Like, you know, like an ode to Connie Mack. Look, maybe it will work. I mean, if you're a White Sox fan, you are very fond. They're still wearing those uniforms. On Sunday afternoon games at home, at least, they wear those uniforms, those Tony La Russa era uniforms. It's a very nostalgic time. You're right, nostalgic.
La Russa still looks great, by the way. That's it. Eat your words, Wilbon. Let's take one last break. But still to come, our ode to Derrick Henry's stiff arm of your boy Josh Norman.
And would Stan Van Gundy be the right coach for the Pelicans? How about that?
Well, what happened to Houston? He's not in the Houston deal anymore? He's not in that?
That would be Jeff Van Gundy. This just in, Tony.
Oh.
There are 2 Van Gundys.
Oh.
Actually,
that's
more
right
than that. But those two have sort of, you know, distinguished themselves in the NBA.
They're both good on television.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number 1, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number 2, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 26th birthday, Jared Goff. Unlike Dak Prescott, Goff found the extension offered him by the Rams to be just fine, and he signed it for $110 million in guarantees without having to be franchised. Goff was the overall number one pick by the Rams out of Cal in 2016, but he bumbled under defensive guy Jeff Fisher. When offensive guy Sean McVay took over, Goff thrived. He was in the Super Bowl in 2018. The Rams were 13-3, and Goff had 32 touchdown passes and 12 interceptions, completed 65% of his passes. Both Goff and the team regressed last season. His touchdowns went down to 22, his interceptions up to 18, his completion percentage and yards were off, and the team was 9-7. So far this season, the Rams are 4-1. Goff's completing 71% of his passes, 8 touchdowns, 3 picks. The yellow caution light is on, though, because all 4 of those victories are against the putrid NFC East, where no team is even at 500, let alone above it.
Tony, it's hard to have a great season. Jared Goff had a great season, but it's harder even to sustain that and have multiple great seasons, because if you do and you sustain it even for a decent length of time, it sends you on a trajectory to Canton. I started watching Goff in person, at Cal in a Northwestern Cal game, and we actually intercepted Goff in an important stretch of the game to beat him in Cal at Cal. I've been watching him and rooting for him since then, and I hope he can sustain it.
Happy anniversary, Francisco Cabrera. On this day 28 years ago, the Braves reserve catcher had a two-out, two-run, pinch-hit, walk-off knock in the ninth inning of Game 7 of the NLCS to send Atlanta to the World Series instead of Pittsburgh. Cabrera hit a line drive off Stan Belinda on a 2-1 pitch that first scored David Justice with a tying run and next scored the agonizingly slow-footed Sid Bream with a winning run, sliding classically ahead of the throw from left fielder Barry Bonds to win the pennant. Amazingly, Cabrera had batted only 10 times all season, so Bobby Cox must have felt something. This was the end of the Pirates' three-year run as division champs as Bonds left for San Francisco. The Pirates did not have another winning season for 20 years. The Braves went on to play to Toronto in the World Series. They lost in six. This was the second of five World Series they would go to under Bobby Cox.
Man, Tony, as great as dramatic home runs are, we talked about Mazeroski yesterday, there was, of course, Joe Carter. These home runs in World Series games to influence or win them, as great as those are, a play at the plate, a close the plate is even more exciting than ball going yard in the World Series, to me anyway.
100% sure. Happy trails to Josh Norman's dignity. The Buffalo cornerback was humiliated last night as he tried to tackle human tank Derrick Henry and got stiff-armed into the dustbin of history. This is the equivalent of the butt fumble for a DB. Henry sticks out his hand and brushes Norman aside like a piece of lint, and Norman tumbles away. Not only did the Tennessee players on the sideline begin to taunt Norman, you can hear the TV announcers laughing. For someone like me who watched Norman basically steal $75 million from the Washington football team, this feels like karma. Norman came to Washington from Carolina, announcing he would become a big national star and left with a whimper, released after 4 years and getting benched last season. Norman made a big video deal out of going to Pamplona and running with the Bulls when he was supposedly recovering from injury. There's footage of him jumping over a bull. It's great. He should have tried to jump over Derrick Henry. This embarrassing play is Norman's legacy, sadly.
Tony, as much as I sort of used to laugh about these things, and I still laugh about things involving Josh Henry, it's like Phillip Rivers. On the field,
Josh
they
Norman.
Seem to be such, Josh Norman, they seem to be such jerks. But, Tony, there's a lot of evidence that says these guys are stand-up men off the field, and if you go into communities in which they live and operate, people have incredible testimonies about them and what they stand for, and they stand up. So I don't know how I should feel about Josh Norman anymore.
Quick omission, the Pro Bowl was canceled. Saturday's LSU-Florida game has been postponed due to Florida's virus outbreak. Very quick to the big finish.
Let's do it.
You can. Stan Van Gundy met with the Pelicans on Tuesday. Good fit?
I think he'd be a great fit for Zion particularly. Yes, I'm rooting for that. Hal Steinbrenner apologized to Yankees fans for not coming close to the World Series. Is that necessary?
No, they got beat by a better team. They really did. The Athletic reports that the NBA is targeting January 18th to start next season. Does that make sense?
If that's the over-under for the season starting, I'll take like 6 weeks beyond that, Tony, if that's the over-under. The Saints are reportedly talking to LSU about playing at Baton Rouge if New Orleans won't let fans in the Superdome. Your thoughts?
The answer to all your questions is money. This is about concessions. This is about money. College football tonight, Coastal Carolina, number 21, Louisiana. Who you got, the Chanticleers or the Raging Cajuns?
It's about politics. I got baseball on two screens, big fella.
Out of time. Try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts.
Good night, Canada.